Hugh Freeze says he's not going to change much about the offense, and I don't know that I disagree with him.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy Tuesday. It's the day after Hugh's big media day. He always does his Monday press conference and then his Tiger Talk appearance on Monday evening. And there's a lot of stuff challenging questions that he's asked, and we're going to go through some of the answers that I think are the most interesting and most discussion worthy, and then clear up a little controversy as well at the end that went down late last night. It was a lot of back and forth, and kind of clarify that as well. But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a double up deposit bonus. Give them $400. You can get $400 back on top of it to play with. The sports book is immense. The lines are great. The live betting is insane. It's a lot of fun. Great platform. Easy to use. Easy to deposit. Easy to withdraw. And it's a lot of fun. So check it out. Don't forget the double up bonus with Next Round. Use coupon code Next Round for a double up bonus at mybookie.ag. So, like I said, yesterday was Hugh's big media day where he basically wears it. He goes and sits in front of the media, and some questions are fair. Some questions I feel like have agendas behind them, but still he goes and he sort of gives an opening statement and he kind of wears it. And then he was asked one particular question in general, and it was about the offense's identity. And I think a lot of times, myself included, we look at the end results to determine the picture of the product. We look at the end results to determine if you know, something is successful or needs to be completely upheaved or changed. And I think we're all sort of guilty of that as well. And Hugh was asked, hey, what about your offensive identity? What kind of identity do you have? And he said, well, I'm going to actually read the exact quote so I don't take him out of context. So he's asked about the identity. What is Auburn's identity? And he said, exactly what we're doing. I think we're good at it. Other than the 10 turnovers in two games, I think there's open receivers. We're running the ball effectively. I'm not sure why we would want to change any of that, other than maybe we should call a few less shot plays. And then he goes in to talk a little bit about, you know, I believe in what we're doing. I don't think there's any changes that need to be made other than 10 turnovers in this. 10 turnovers is tough in two football games. So if you just read that, if you just listen to that and you don't really dive into it and think about it, you're like, man, so we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. And nothing's going to change. And I think that's a fair question to ask on the surface. But when you really look at what he's saying, it kind of reminds me of, this may be a terrible analogy, but it makes sense. It makes sense to me. It may make sense to some of you, especially if you play the game. But I play golf. I played Saturday. My score on the scorecard was terrible, but I walked away feeling like I hit the ball really well. I feel like I hit some fairways. I hit some greens. I didn't score the ball. So it's like, do I go, because my score was bad, do I go overhaul everything, or do I kind of keep what I'm doing and maybe fine tune a little bit of these things and sort of don't try to go change everything about how you play the game. I think you can say that for multiple sports. You can talk about pitchers that, you know, in baseball that pitch really well, but they give up there's errors and there's things that are sort of out of their control that end up inflating their ERA. Do you go and overhaul your whole strategy, or do you just try to, you know, keep kind of doing what you're doing and eventually the numbers may sort of work themselves out? Let me just give you some statistics, okay, and just kind of justify what he's saying. Now, granted, Do I think that he's going to just obviously keep calling a lot of the plays that the quarterbacks either can't diagnose or they continue to throw interceptions on? I mean, I think one of the interceptions that he talked about it on Tiger Talk, was that, you know, they let Hank have a lot of input in the play sheet. And one of the interceptions that he threw was one of the plays that he said was his favorite play. I don't know exactly which one. I'll have to go back and re-listen. I kind of caught bits and pieces of it. But there may be some tweaks that are done as far as trying to find a little bit more safer, maybe throws, I guess, even though some of the throws that were thrown interceptions on are some of the safest throws that you can possibly have. But let's look at some of these statistics. Okay. So number one, if you look at, he mentioned yards per carry. Okay. Auburn is 14th in the country in yards per carry. And I know you probably say, hey, well then why aren't we running the ball more? And I think if you don't turn the ball over, you get a lot more attempts. If you don't have turnovers, if you don't throw interceptions, you get more plays. And in turn, you'll get more rushes. This past game was the most balanced up until the last couple of drives. People are going to say, oh, you shouldn't be throwing it 57 to 60% of the time if you're struggling. Well, if you take away the last drive, which didn't even matter, and I think it was like seven or eight plays, and they were all pass plays. If you take those out, you're right at 50-50. Or maybe if you want to go to the drive prior, where it was also a desperation, you threw four times. Now you're at 12 passes, 11 to 12 passes that are not really a part of the game plan. It's sort of desperation mode. You're at that 50 or maybe even more rushes to actual run to actual passes. So you've got some pretty good running backs. You're putting it on the ground, but you're from the play calling standpoint, from the offensive philosophy standpoint, you're moving the ball on the ground. You're again 14th in the country at 6.25 yards per carry. I mean, if I gave you that statistic and said this is what Auburn's rushing offense is going to be this year, you'd be pretty fired up about it. I think I would. Next, another stat. You look at offensive yards, total yards passing. I know this is going to probably blow your mind. Auburn's top 20 in the country in total passing yards. I mean, even with some garbage time yesterday, Saturday, Auburn still threw for almost 300 yards. I think Hank threw for 70 or 80 yards, and then Peyton threw for a little bit over 200. So it was close to 300 yards in that game. And you've thrown the ball pretty well, so much so that you're top 20 in total yards. And I know people are going to say, oh, what about the opponents? Well, you know, at the beginning of the season, everybody's played poor opponents. Like I get Alabama A&M is probably one of the weaker of probably anybody's schedule, and you did rack up a bunch there, but still, I'm going to show you some statistics to show that it's pretty much happened in every single game here in just a second. So that you're a top 20 total offense, passing offense, and then yards per attempt in passing. Oh, well, maybe they're just throwing it, you know, it's just little dinks and dunks. That's why, you know, completion percentage and blah, 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 blah. Well, Auburn's top 13 in yards per attempt at 9.8 yards per attempt. If I gave you that statistic for the year, you would say Auburn's probably going to be 4-0. Probably are going to be 4-0 to start the season off. Keep going a little bit. Passing touchdowns. If I told you Auburn through four games would be the number five passing touchdown team, we're not a typical passing touchdown team, you would say we're going to be 4-0. And they've thrown 13 touchdowns. But the problem is they've thrown eight interceptions. And those eight interceptions have been costly. And then total offense, okay, you say, man, the offense is terrible. You look at total offense, you're a top 27 in yards per game total offense. So yards per carry is excellent. Yards per attempt is excellent. Yards per game is very good. Total yards is very good. Touchdowns is where you want it to be. So all those things kind of point back to what Hugh's saying. Is like, man, we're if you just really watch the game, if you just really look at what we're doing, I don't want to go upheave everything. Like I'm trying, I feel like if we can just get the, if we can just find a, you know, figure out a way to get the quarterbacks to not throw interceptions. And he said, if once we meet and we describe everything, if they're not seeing the right things, that's on us. We got to coach it better. But overall, we don't need to go upheave everything. Like we don't need to go necessarily find an identity. We just got to stop turning the ball over. And I think those statistics are right there just show you exactly kind of what, explain a little bit more in depth exactly what he's saying. So I think that's something important to watch moving forward is do the numbers start to work in Auburn's favor? Like, it's got the law of averages. Can you, will you just continue to throw 3 to 4 interceptions a game? Like when you get to play a little bit tougher competition, it's hard to imagine that that's the case. It's number one, it's hard to throw. It's kind of hard to throw an interception. I mean, a lot of things have to go against you to be able to throw an interception. I mean, it just doesn't happen that much. Like, let me take that back. It doesn't happen so often that it happens very often for people that it's 4 interceptions a game. It doesn't happen that often at that level. So hopefully that's something that they can fix. And I don't think it's necessarily fixing it with your changing your identity. I think you kind of keep doing what you're doing and just continue to plug and see what little things these quarterbacks can do better, or what little things these guys can execute without, you know, seeing ghosts or you know, whatever the terminology you want to use to insinuate that there may be, you know, an issue with them seeing the field. So let's see what happens there. I want to go into explosive plays here in just a second and then clear up a little controversy. But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to before we dive into that, I want to shout out our boy Ford Stokes with the retirement results presented by Active Wealth. There's no reason at this point in time, you've been listening to this show for a while, you've heard me talk about Ford Stokes. If you have any type of retirement plan, any type of savings, you need to reach out to Ford just to be sure, just to double check, just to make 100% positive, 100% sure that what you're doing is performing at the optimal level, that you're not paying just silly fees that you could avoid. And then you're just kind of on the right path. And he can either A, affirm it, or B, say, you could be doing this, this, and this, and let's get you on a better pathway. And he'd do that analysis for you absolutely free. You need to check him out, retirementresults.com/plan, and let Ford Stokes just take a look. Tell him War Eagle, tell him I sent you, make a friend at the same time. Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. Explosive plays. This is another one. Jason Caldwell, one of my favorites, asked this question to Hugh in the press conference. He's like, and he basically kind of goes along the same lines with what Hugh was talking about. He said, "Hey, coach, you know, you're one of the top teams in the country in explosive plays." And I kind of shot back, and I was like, "Man, is that real?" And as a matter of fact, it is. When you look at explosive plays, and you can name the yardage, 20 plus, 30 plus, 40 plus, 50 plus, 60 plus, whatever it is, Auburn is towards the top in those explosive plays. Plays of 20 plus yards, 6th. Auburn has 27 plays of 20 plus yards. 30 plus yards, Auburn's 4th with 15. 40 plus yards plays that go 40 yards or more. Auburn is 2nd in the country with 9 plays of 40 yards or more. 50 yards or more, Auburn is 2nd in the country of plays of over 50 yards. And I know you would say, "Oh, well, the schedule. Auburn has gone over 40 yards with a play, I believe, in every single game this year, even Cal. Cam Coleman on the very first drive had a 41-yard reception to kind of kick off the game. I think every single game this year you've had a play go over 40 yards. And I think, again, that kind of goes back to the identity. And honestly, only against Cal, really, So I kind of disagree a little bit with Hugh when he said maybe we don't take as many chunk plays, big play attempts. I don't know that I 100% agree with that. I don't know that the statistics show that because, again, a lot of your interceptions you're seeing, other than, you know, two at the end of the Cal game, which were desperation mode, are mostly, I feel like, sort of like 15 yards and in type plays. You know, you got the Cam Coleman off the hands twice, which that was, you know, in the ball in the air, maybe 12 to 15 yards. The one against Cal was very short. It was not very, it was just like a quick slant. This one was a little bit deeper against Arkansas. The first two interceptions from Hank, the ball in the air was not in the air very, did not travel very far in the air, and it was picked off. I don't see a whole bunch of down the field interceptions, but I see Auburn able to make, you know, been able to consistently make explosive plays. So I know there's probably going to be people rolling their eyes and saying, oh my gosh, this is pie in the sky, whatever. But I mean, the statistics are there. The statistics, that's hard to say. The statistics are there. And, you know, you can look them up and you can challenge them if you want to. But I think I agree a little bit that, you know, clearly we're doing the things that they're coached to do. You're just turning the ball over and you got to stop turning it over. And I think, you know, Hugh's addressing that, and I think he's addressing it correctly. There's some other things I'm sure some people got aggravated with, and we may talk about those later in the week, but I want to clear something up about this, the ticket fiasco. Okay. This is Tuesday. So you're listening to, if you're probably listening to me either second or third, the first one you're probably listening to is Zach at Locked On Auburn, and I'm on his show on Tuesdays. And I pretty much went off on some of the former players. Okay. This is not a time I feel like to whine on social media about not getting tickets. And it turns out that it wasn't even as big of a deal as it ended up being made. So it started off, I think Chandler Cox started it off talking about Auburn doesn't care about former players, which I thought was silly considering he was given a job by Auburn recently. Regardless of tickets or whatever, I thought that was pretty silly. Then Josh Holsey says, I'm going to read his tweet. Give me 1 second. Josh Holsey basically said, hey, I'm finding out, you know, Auburn doesn't care about former players or something like that. He says, so I've learned that us former players have no room to go back in Auburn for the games. I'm highly disappointed to find that out. That is so patently untrue that it's sort of amazing. It's sort of amazing considering I've been on the field 3 times this season, and every single time I've met a new former player, Restus Mukes, Willie Anderson, name them. There's players on the field, Casanova McKenzie. There's players on the field, guys that he played with. There's players on the field every single game, and it sort of blows my mind that stuff like this is even coming out. There is a process for players to get tickets across the country at every single school. Okay, you can't show up the day of the game. Okay, you can't call on Friday at most places and say, hey, I'm coming, I'm bringing 10 folks, I need some tickets. That's not how it works, especially when you're at a school like Auburn where it's a sellout most every single game. Okay, so that's tough. That's tough to do. And, and another thing is when you do get tickets, that you shouldn't expect to have to be able to get free reign of the stadium either just because you played at Auburn. So I was a little bit upset and fired up on Zach's show. And the one I'm the most sad about is that I went after Corey Grant, who I've met several times, and I'm sort of shocked at what he said. And he said, yeah, I know, man. He retweeted Josh Holsey. I know, man. I was in the recruiting lounge and I was asked to leave and without any explanation. And everybody goes nuts because we're just looking at something else to be mad about at this Hugh Freeze staff and tenure. And, oh, we got to be better. We're dumping on players. And I really wish people would just take 5 minutes and think to yourself, Is this the whole, do we really think this is the story? Do we really think that Auburn is saying there's no players allowed, or we're not giving former players access? Let's go. I mean, can we look at how, if we take 5 seconds, can we find, you know, some Pro Bowl best offensive lineman in Auburn history talking about how much this staff has meant to him and his teammates back in the 80s and 90s, that he's got more access than ever. I mean, that doesn't take that long to find that tweet. I mean, you can find that. And then Willie Anderson is who I'm talking about. Then he actually came out immediately when all this stuff came out to defend. Whoa, whoa, whoa. This staff has given us more access than any staff I can remember. And then player after player after player starts chiming in saying, I don't know exactly what they're talking about. Well, then Corey, bless his heart, says, I was actually talking about the Harsin era, not Hugh Freeze, hours later. So he wasn't even talking about – his tweet was what got people most fired up and got me fired up. And he wasn't even talking about the Gus – he wasn't even talking about the Hugh Freeze era. It's like, geez, man, that's kind of a big detail to leave out, especially in the whole context of everything that's going on. But that's kind of – I love Corey. But Corey's got so much going on. I don't think he's as locked in as most think former players are as far as what's going on with Auburn. I think I just don't think he really was thinking that much about the context of everything. And he was just seeing a friend say, "Hey, I had a bad experience," and then he was like, "Oh, I had a bad experience too a couple of years ago," but he didn't say that. He just chimed in. He's like, "Yeah, man, it's been happening to me too. It's happened to me too." But everybody assumed he was talking about everybody assumed it happened like Saturday based off of the timing of it. And he came out and to clarify, "My bad. I meant that happened to me during the Harsin era." So I went a little hard on Corey, and I apologize if you share it with him, if you share this with him, I'm sorry. I jumped to conclusions, even though that's kind of a big detail to leave out of your original tweet. So I don't think this happens anywhere else. It does not happen anywhere else that we have this issue with former players that do stuff like this. And it seems like it happens under every single coach. "Oh, I'm not allowed back." Well, that's bull crap. There's a freaking alumni. There's an Auburn alumni, like Letterman's Club. Like there's a whole club for former players in the dang stadium. So it's like, it's not like it's, that's not a thing. Like the access is Auburn is very accessible. There have been some staffs where it's a little bit more accessible than others. By all accounts, this staff has done more for former players as far as access, coming to practice, being around the team than pretty much anyone over the past, you know, many, many years. So I don't really get why we have to, you know, kick us while we're down. And, you know, maybe if you win, it changes things, but it's just in a bad spot right now. And the last thing we need is former players speaking. I'm just going to say it, untruths, not the whole truth. They're telling their side of the story, and they're leaving out a lot of context. And if you take 5 minutes to look into it, you can debunk most of it. So I'm sorry to Corey Grant now that you've clarified 2 hours after your first tweet, but I apologize for that. So anyway, guys, I really appreciate you listening. You need to subscribe to thebarnauburn.com. And, you know, we clarified all this within 5 minutes. You know, there were some people that addressed it, understandably so. I gave multiple examples and we clarified this within 5 minutes. So stuff like that, recruiting information, team information, all that good stuff you can find at thebarnauburn.com for only $1 for your first month. Sign up today and get in the mix. I know Auburn's not fun. You can come vent in a friendly environment. It's not super toxic yet. I'm sure it may get that way eventually because it's hard not to. But, hey, I feel like we have some spirited discussions. It's a really good community. So check us out, thebarnauburn.com. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. And then follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. We're going to be back every single day. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.